Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. What I normally have been doing on the radio broadcast is I take time on the three broadcasts in between the two services on the Lord's Day. I take time to go over what I had preached the previous week, and that gives me the ability to add a few points to what I maybe wasn't able to cover during the sermon time. I can add and slightly differently take a look at whatever passage or subject it is that we've been covering on the Lord's Day. Well, I'm not able to do that this week because we didn't meet this past Lord's Day. We didn't meet because of the storm, the winter storm that came. We get in with myself and the elders. We get into an issue, you know, should we close church or not? Because many of the storms that we get, for some reason, they seem to come on Saturday to Sunday. And so it always puts us in this quandary about, you know, is it just a bunch of hype? Is the storm really going to be as bad as what they're saying? Are we going to get that much snow? Even worse, is there going to be a lot of ice associated with the snow? And so all of this was going on for the days leading up to this weekend, to Saturday night and Sunday morning. And so by the time Saturday came, we had been watching it pretty closely. And then we got together and decided that we would go ahead and cancel the service on Sunday morning. We're a small country church, and we don't really have the means at the church to be able to clear the parking lot. So, you know, if people did make it to church and then they pulled up into the parking lot, if there was a lot of ice, you know, it'd be sheets of ice in the parking lot and so forth. So if this did materialize, it wasn't going to be good at the church itself. Additionally, a lot of times in storms like this, you may get the main roads are cleared early on, but the side roads are not cleared right away. And sometimes the side roads can be especially bad because, in this area at least, a lot of them are lined by trees. And so if the trees are blocking the sunlight from getting onto the road, you'll be going down an open patch of road where there's farmland or something on both sides, and then you hit that tree area, and it's a sheet of ice in that section. And so I think that's taking place in a lot of places here this morning, even now. So it's still, it just can be very tentative for folks to be driving to church, and we never want to have people put in any sort of a situation where they put themselves in danger in order to try to come. So we made the decision on Saturday night, not knowing if this was going to materialize or not. Woke up Sunday morning, and I thought to myself, man, did we make the right decision? At least out where I am, and I think this was true through most of the region here. I don't know how many inches we had of snow, but it was kind of started as rain, a little bit of sleet, and then it snowed, and then it rained again. And so it was just a heavy, heavy snow that came down, and I had every bit of 7 inches, 8 inches or something on the ground. The kids, grandkids have been loving it. They've been snowboarding and pulling each other around on four-wheelers with sleds behind it, and just having a blast in the snow. So it's been great for that, but hasn't been that great for traveling or, you know, doing other things. The sheep don't even want to come out of their barn the chickens are like, we ain't doing this. And so they've stayed in their coop. And ironically, I went there this morning just to digress even further from what I'm supposed to be doing here this morning. But ironically, when I went to the let the chickens to throw some feed into their enclosed coop area there, I saw that they had been laying eggs. So the, I don't know if the storm brought something out in them or what, but and we've had a full moon. It was very bright, you know, even throughout the night because of the white snow and then the full moon. It's still very bright, even midnight. You can still see pretty far outside. But I don't know if all that combined together, but all of a sudden I got 5 or 6 eggs this morning, so I was happy. And at the price of eggs these days and the fact that you can hardly get them in a store last couple of weeks. So anyways, we decided to take the Lord's Day off. And so I don't want to go into the subject that I've been preaching through because I don't want to do it on the radio program first before I preach it there in to the congregation at Mountain Bridge. So this affords me the opportunity to do something that I enjoy doing periodically. A lot of times I'll do this on Thursdays, but it gives me the opportunity to address other subjects then that I've been wanting to address but just didn't have the radio time to do it because I was spending that time continuing on in our series of studies. So what I wanted to look at today is another topic. I've done this with a couple of other topics. I did this with the topic of redeeming the time a couple of weeks ago. But I want to look at a subject that is good that I like to have in my mind as we approach the new year. What are we, 17, 18 days or something into the new year? And so, you know, we're still right here at the beginning on the threshold of it, just entering in. And so I try in my own mind to, you know, just prepare for the new year, to set my thinking in a certain way as to the important subjects that I need to keep in top of mind as I approach the new year. The subject that I want to deal with this time is the subject of watchfulness. Watchfulness is a text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. It's the final chapter in the five-chapter book of Thessalonians. And the apostle says this. He says, therefore, so he's coming to a conclusion in all that he has said leading up to this point. And by the way, there's something about the second coming of Christ in every single one of the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians. So often, I think a great title for the book is Living in Light of the Lord's Return. So the Apostle Paul speaks to the folks there at Thessalonica, the Christians that are there, and he's telling them about how to live in the light of the Lord's return. He's going to end chapter 5 here with a statement about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And as he's going up to that point, and as he's making his conclusion now in the final chapter of this letter, this epistle to the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. So that's the idea as we're looking into the new year, 2022. And as we're looking here and we're thinking about, you know, what are some of the things that we need to have top of mind? One of the things I would have there is the concept, the biblical concept of watchfulness, watchfulness. One writer referred to the subject of watchfulness, a Christian writer, referred to the subject of watchfulness as a lost spiritual discipline, a lost spiritual discipline. And he said that, you know, he's bemoaning or lamenting that fact because he was stressing the point that watchfulness is an important aspect of the Christian life. You think about what Jesus told his disciples just before he was ascended up into heaven. You know, he's at the end of his earthly ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Now, can you imagine what the Christian life would be like? Imagine just what life itself would be like if we only had one of those two things that Christ told us to do. What if we had the other one? What if we didn't have the other one, right? I'm focusing on the fact that watchfulness is a lost spiritual discipline, but what if we didn't pay much attention to the second one, the idea of praying, and that prayer was as lost of a spiritual discipline as watchfulness is? Can you imagine what the Christian life would be like? Can you imagine without God hearing the prayers of his people and then responding to those prayers, how God has in his providence, in his decree, that he has decreed not only the ends but the means to those ends, and the prayers of God's people are the means to the ends of God carrying out, one of the means to the ends of God carrying out his eternal decree. Can you imagine then what would be the result of that if that second word was as unknown and unfamiliar to Christians as the first one is? Now think back about the first one. That's what the importance, right? Christ told his disciples to watch and pray, not just to pray, but watch and pray. And then when we look through the epistles, we find that the apostles, in their epistles, they made mention of the importance of the subject of watchfulness repeatedly throughout their letters, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, and then Galatians chapter 6, Colossians 4:2, 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Peter chapter 4, and then 2 John verse 8, and so forth. So repeatedly throughout the New Testament scriptures, the apostles then, first Christ and the apostles, place an important emphasis on the doctrine or on the subject of watchfulness in the Christian life. The book of Hebrews commands mutual watchfulness and mutual exhortation while they remind us to obey those leaders who keep watch over our souls. All right, so in that text, he's encouraging the Hebrew Christians. He's telling them to obey them, that the leaders that God has placed over them in the church, that there's a certain honor and respect and so forth associated with what God has called them to do and so forth. And he says to watch them, and he adds, because they're the ones who have been tasked with keeping watch over our souls. That important concept that is conveyed here. So now, who should be the Christians that should be fulfilling this concept of watchfulness in the Christian life? Well, I would say all believers, that regardless of their station or their season in this life, we all need to be watchful about what's taking place. In the past, believers put a great emphasis on the subject of watchfulness. The Puritans, they wrote a lot about the subject of watchfulness. In their teaching on watchfulness, the Puritans commonly quoted from a certain verse in the scripture, and the verse is found in the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, it says this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see what the wise proverb is saying here to us? It's saying that since all of the issues of life come out of your heart, then keep your heart with all diligence. In fact, the Puritan writer, John Flavel, he wrote an entire book on this verse. The Puritans were experts at this. They were greatly used of God in the way that they did these things. They just take one verse in the scripture, and they could write an entire volume, an entire book on that subject, on that verse. John Flavel's taking of that verse in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the book that he wrote on that subject is called A Saint Indeed, or as the Puritans commonly did, they would give it a second title. They would say, or The Great Work of the Christian Opened and Pressed. Opened and Pressed. So he considers the great work of the Christian in his time here to be this concept of watchfulness, to keep thine heart with all diligence. In fact, on the opening page of that book, on Flavel's book, this is written. It says, the greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God, and the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. That's worth repeating, I think. It says this, the greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God, and the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. I think he's absolutely right. Right? Keeping the heart in tune with the spiritual truths that are revealed to us in God's Word. Keeping the heart from the sins and the temptations that are so prevalent around us. Keeping the heart from secret sins. Keeping the heart from turning its desire away from Christ and the things of God, and turning the desire to the things of the world. Often reminded of the apostle's words about Demas. It said, Demas has forsaken me, loving this present evil world. He loved the world, and so he walked away from Christ. Thomas Boston, the Puritan writer, said this. He said that watching is a military term, and there are two things in it. Number one, the soul's keeping spiritually awake, or to watch is opposed to sleeping. And then secondly, he says, is observation. Our mind must be intent upon our business, that we may catch all advantages against it, ward off hazard from the enemy. Hence, watching is expressed by taking heed and by looking to ourselves. So there's the concept, according to Boston, and the idea of watchfulness, one staying awake. That's why in the text it says, let us therefore let us not sleep as do others. So there's some sort of a slumber over them. There's a slackness, a slowness, a lack of attention to things. And so they're spoken of as being sleeping. And juxtaposed to the idea of sleeping is to be engaged, right? And observing, and keeping the mind intent upon the things of God and so forth. And you hear people talk about doing things intentionally now these days. Is there any other way that we should do things than doing it intentionally? We should put our mind and our focus upon these things. John Owen, the Puritan writer, he wrote a treatise entitled The Grace of God, I'm sorry, The Grace and Duty of Being Spiritually Minded. And in it, it says this, it is no ordinary nor easy thing to preserve our affections pure, entire, and steady in their vigorous adherence unto spiritual things. Watchfulness, prayer, faith in exercise, and the daily examination of ourselves are required hereunto. For want of a due attendance unto these things, and that with respect unto this end, many, even before they are aware, die away as to all power and vigor in the Christian, in the spiritual life. You know, one of the saddest statements and stories in the scripture is the story of Samson, right? He did these great things for God. It's an example of the way that God can use men, and the great way that God can use men in his work. And so a picture of strength, but then also a picture of weakness, a picture of how easy people can fall away. Remember when Delilah had deceived him. Here he was laying in the lap of Delilah. What a picture of worldliness. And she had called in the Philistines, and she said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee." And previous to this, Samson could arise and then shake himself, and he could, you know, the Spirit of the living God would still come upon him to do these mighty acts. But this, in this case, at the last one, it said, "And he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him." Right? So he wasn't able. He thought, well, I'll just, you know, even though I'm having trouble bringing the Spirit back up slowly, there was this slow fade, that was taking place with Samson until it was too late. You know, in the John Bunyan, of course, another Puritan writer, and so many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with and love one of his most well-known works, of course, Pilgrim's Progress. But Bunyan was talking about watchfulness in that book in many different ways, but he actually had a character that was named Watchful as well. And Watchful was the porter at the beautiful palace, which was the second bastion of help along the way in the Christian's journey. Remember, the beautiful palace was a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was the porter in the church, was named Watchful. And you think of Bunyan is talking about how the preachers, how the pastor is to be noted for watchfulness and warning the people of God and calling them to greater watchfulness as well. And then throughout the book, Bunyan illustrates the practical need for watchfulness against numerous dangers that beset us on the way to heaven. Now, dangers like discouragement in the slough of despond, or temptation in the valley of humiliation, or worldliness itself and Vanity Fair, and despair that is found in the giant despair in the doubting castle, and sloth in that enchanted ground. Remember, the two travelers took an easier way, but the way led through the enchanted forest and the enchanted ground, and they became sleepy and they fell asleep and so forth. And so they'd been warned about that. But all of these different things, watchfulness is needed so that they didn't fall into these things. There's a second work that a lot of folks know about with John Bunyan, and that is his work on what's called The Holy War. The Holy War. And in that book, The Holy War, Bunyan portrays spiritual battle being raged against by King Shaddai and his son Emmanuel. And they're on one side. Against them is Diabolos and his horde, and they're all fighting for the city of man's soul, the soul of men. And so in that allegory, Bunyan teaches the believer the need to guard against the things that would try to reclaim the city of man's soul, and to fortify his or her soul once it has been reclaimed by grace. And so all of these things, I think we could clearly say that the implication is crystal clear. Neglect watchfulness, and you will hinder other spiritual practices in your life. That's very clear, I think, from a number of different texts and quotations that I've given just a few moments ago. If you neglect watchfulness in the Christian life, you will hinder other spiritual practices in your Christian life. Watchfulness is it's like a whetstone of spiritual disciplines. You know what a whetstone is, right? I use it a lot for sharpening knives, especially, you know, during hunting season and so forth. We have been doing our own butchering this year and so forth. So we've bought, you know, really good knives to be able to butcher and so forth. And a key to obviously any knife is that the knife is sharp. And so some of the, in the process of butchering, you know, the knife can become dull. So you have to use different devices. And one of them is a whetstone, where you want to not only bring back the edge of the knife, but then hone that edge. And so you'll take a stone, a special stone, and then on that stone you put an oil, or some people may use water, but you put a cutting oil, like on that stone, and then you hone the edge of that knife so that, man, does it make the job easier. If you have a sharp knife, it'll really work well and make the job go much, much easier. You know what the old saying is? People say it's a dull knife that will cut you. And that's because you'll be putting in so much effort, more effort with the dull knife than you will with a sharp knife. And so that dull knife will actually end up cutting you. Well, what I want to do, I want to take a quick commercial break here in just a minute. And when we take the break, then I want to, when we come back, I want to look at this subject in more depth. The whole concept of the nature of watchfulness, what's in it? You know, what do we mean by it, these different elements involved in it, and how can we put it into practice in our life, even in this year, 2022, put into practice this concept of watchfulness in the Christian life. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. We're talking about the subject of watchfulness on the broadcast today. Watchfulness, and the text that we turn to is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we're looking at the first part of that imperative, the first part being the idea of watchfulness. And I spent the first half of the program talking about how important the subject of watchfulness is, and then how often then that subject was mentioned by Christians in the past. Primarily, many times I quoted from the Puritan writers themselves, people like Thomas Boston and John Flavel and John Owen and John Bunyan and so forth, just a number of well-known Puritan writers who have had to say something about this subject of watchfulness. What I want to do now is I want to actually look at the nature of watchfulness, you know, what's involved in it, and how can we delve deeper into the concept here and so forth. And I think one way that we can do this, and this is not unique to me, was actually done in a book that I read a couple of years ago, but is to look at a statement that was made by John Owen on the subject of watchfulness. And the book that Owen made that statement in is a work of Owen's called Of Temptation, Of Temptation. And in that book, it defined watchfulness as a universal carefulness and diligence, exercising itself in and by all ways and means prescribed by God over our hearts and ways, the baits and the methods of Satan, the occasions and advantages of sin in the world, that we be not entangled. Now, that's a typical Puritan definition of something, and I know that there's a lot in that definition, and therefore what I wanted to do was examine that definition more closely and thereby use that definition as an outline to talk about the subject of watchfulness. I think it's a great definition, especially once we unpack it word by word or phrase by phrase, once we understand exactly what Owen was saying. You know, John Owen sometimes can say things that are very difficult. You know, some people have read Owen's book on the atonement, the death of death and the death of Christ. And some people who are familiar with Puritan writings and so forth said that book was almost the death of me as I read that book. So sometimes it can be difficult to think through, but they were deep thinkers, and they were not frivolous writers. When they wrote something down, it was worthy of thinking through and further examining the statements that they made. So I don't think that it will be a fruitless effort at all as we go through this definition in a deeper way. First of all, Bunyan says it is a universal carefulness, the first part of his definition. It is a universal carefulness. Well, universal means that it's complete. It is comprehensive carefulness, right? So it's not something that is to be compartmentalized. It's to be involved in every aspect of our life, right? It's not something that is just reserved for the Lord's day, but it is not to be thought about or put into practice on the weekdays, right? And so if you're thinking about watchfulness, you say, well, maybe I should pay attention more when I go to the service on Sunday. That, you know, that's what I think is being meant here by watchfulness. And if I do that when I get together, I'm going to try not to sleep as much during the sermon. I'm going to try to go ahead and, really engage my mind, think deeply about what's being said and so forth. And so I'll do that. But then you don't do anything with it during the week. Well, you don't have a universal carefulness, right? It's not just reserved for the Lord's day, but it's for every day of the week. It's not something that is just, related to our eyes, but it has no relevance about what we do with our tongue. So you can't compartmentalize it again and say, okay, I'm going to be more watchful with what I look at, what sort of entertainment, what sort of worldly things I focus my attention on. Remember the prophet said that I have made a covenant with my eyes. And so there's this concept about, taking greater efforts in order to be careful about what he looked at, right? And that's the prophet was speaking about. But then they don't have any relevance to the tongue. Of course, James tells us that the tongue can be a world of evil, right? That therewith we bless God and therewith we curse men. My brethren, this ought not to be, the apostle says. He has a whole chapter there about the tongue and the use of our tongues and so forth. So it's got to involve every area. It's got our ears, what we listen to, our eyes, what we see, our tongue, what we say, our hands, what we do, and so forth, our feet, where we go, every aspect of our life. It must be complete. It must be comprehensive, not a compartmentalized Christianity. We have way too much of that already, where people say, yeah, on Sunday, I see him at church. He acts, all holier than thou, but you should see him on Wednesday morning and at work. Man, so foul mouth and the things that he says and so forth. Two different people, a person's a hypocrite. We see that type of thing taking place. And so it's a poor witness. And part of it is the watchfulness must be not compartmentalized, but comprehensive carefulness over our souls. It's not something that in which we obey a portion of God's commands, but then we neglect the rest of the commands. You have people that say, well, I the Old Testament God, I don't have anything to do with the Old Testament God, but I believe in the New Testament God. And I just listened to what the New Testament, well, here's the problem with that. Guess what they do in the New Testament? They quote and they expound the Old Testament. So you can't break the two of them up in that way that you have. Some people say, well, I don't listen to anybody else but Jesus, and so I have a red letter edition of the Bible, and so I just read the red letters that are there and so forth. Well, when you read the words of Jesus, you will find that he quotes the words of others, and then you'll find that in the epistles, that the epistles are expounding upon what the words of Jesus were. You can't separate the two. It's all, you can't obey just a portion of the word of God, but then neglect the rest of it. And so it is a applicable, Owen is saying here, the idea, the concept of watchfulness is applicable in every aspect and every circumstance of our life, every aspect. And so I've often said that the Christian life is lived behind enemy lines. Somebody said, I was reading a post about hunting, and the person talking about hunting and sneaking into the woods quietly and so forth, one of the analogies that he gave was, he said, sneak into the woods like it was the deer that had the guns and not you. And so, you know, you're going to go in a lot more quietly. You're going to be careful about stepping on that twig and, you know, having the sound of a broken twig is what will catch, you know, the deer's ears will pop up and their tail, and then you'll just see them running off through the woods, because that's a sound that is not normally in the woods. It takes a certain amount of weight to step on that twig to break it. They hear a lot of leaves rustling and so forth because the squirrels are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. So they hear that, but they don't hear like a broken twig. So you're going to walk a whole lot more carefully when you go through. Now, not only is the Christian life lived behind enemy lines, but behind enemy lines, it's filled with minefields. And so when you walk through this life, the Christian are warned to walk circumspectly, to look around. Keep looking around you. Be careful. Watch where you put your foot. Watch where you're going. Watch in which direction you're heading in and so forth. It is just fraught with mines all over the place, snares and traps and all sorts of booby traps that are set out there for you. So we've got to be careful. It's a universe, so every aspect of our life, every circumstance. Owen goes on to say, it is a universal carefulness. In other words, to be watchful is to be careful. And it speaks about being alert and attentive, to proceed with caution and concern. To the idea is to pay attention to every aspect of our life. It's the complete opposite of carefulness is the complete opposite of carelessness. You know, we are not to be casual. We are not to be careless or take a careless approach to the care of our inner life. One of the things I can't stand about our current generation is the frivolous way they approach so many different things. Just the casual attitude they have about important things. You know, we got a phrase that could be written as a banner over much of the younger generation in this age, and that is, whatever, whatever. You know, it's no big deal, whatever. It doesn't deserve any sort of effort or carefulness on my part, you know, and just whatever. If that's what happens, you know, then that's what happens. Big deal. It's no big deal. You say, well, you know, you need to do this. If you don't do this, you don't put gas in the car, the car is going to run out of gas. You don't fix those brakes, you're not going to be able to stop the car. And if you don't stop the car, you're going to hit something. And then you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a bill to pay. Your insurance is going to go up. Hey, you got to, whatever, whatever. Well, you know, that's not the attitude that the Christian should have in his inner life. You know, this is the most precious commodity you have on the face of the earth. The preciousness of the human soul, the soul. Christ died. Christ died for that soul, right? He shed his own blood for that soul, to purchase that soul. How dare we then have a carelessness about the state of our soul before God? You know, we can say that we are careless and have a careless approach about our soul or our inner life, in a number of different ways. If we never search our heart, if we never examine the attitudes and the actions in light of God's word, then we are not being watchful. What did Christ say? You know, he said that he spoke about that a man could lose his soul. He says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his soul? The verse that speaks to us about the value of the human soul. It's more valuable than anything else that a man can possess in this world. Christ tells us that every person has a soul, and that soul can be lost, and once it's lost forever. And what we find is that to lose the soul is very easy. All you have to do is do nothing. Do nothing. Just let it go. Let it go in whatever direction it wants to go in, and so forth, and follow your heart. And it's very easy to lose your never-dying soul and spend an eternity in the eternal flames of hell. It's an easy thing to do. It's like rolling a rock downhill. There's no problem. There's no obstacle to it whatsoever. You could roll right in to the open pit of hell. That's how easy it is. But Christ tells us, you know, to think about your soul and think about the value of your soul. And for the Christian, that soul has now been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ and the person and work of Christ. So we should pay careful attention to it and to the state of it. Owen goes on here to say this. He says it is a universal carefulness and diligence. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 says, only take heed to thyself to keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 6 and 7 said this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It's diligence, right? Diligence means this. It's a dirty word today, but it means this. To do something earnestly, thoughtfully, and thoroughly, persistently, to apply yourself to it with a steady effort. Those are the words that are associated with the concept of diligence. And let me ask you this. Do those words characterize your care of your soul? Can those be said to care? You know, do you exercise earnestly, thoughtfully, thoroughly, persistently, efforts to keep your never-dying soul, to keep your soul in the love of God and so forth? This is what Owen is talking about in this definition. He says, it is a universal carefulness and diligence exercising itself. In other words, watchfulness is not passive. It's not a phrase that is associated like with the old Keswick movement. Remember, the phrase that came out of that Keswick movement was to just let go and let God. You know, that don't you do anything. God's going to do everything. Now, of course, in the atoning work of Christ, we're looking at what Christ has done, and we reject the idea of synergism in salvation and so forth. But once your soul is saved, once Christ has done all these things on your behalf, and the Holy Spirit has now taken up residence in your soul, there is time for service to Christ. There is time for that saved soul to then actively seek the Savior and so forth and progress in sanctification. That's what we see. Watchfulness is active. It involves effort and exertion and action in order to be effective. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it says this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it by force. Right? This is storming the gates of heaven. Right? This taking heaven by force is the idea in that text, by taking heaven by storm. That's what the verse is speaking about. Luke chapter 16 and verse 16 said this, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it, right? Leaning and pressing and pushing and doing everything that you can to press into it. As I mentioned that title there a moment ago, Taking Heaven by Storm, was a book that was written by Thomas Watson. And it's a practical handbook on Christian living, showing the holy violence a Christian is to put forth in the pursuit of after glory. And in that book, Thomas Watson talks about this violence. He said the Christian must offer violence to the world, the flesh and the devil. And he says, though heaven is given us freely, yet we must contend for it. We have need, therefore, to summon together all the powers of the soul and strive as a matter of life and death that we may arrive at the kingdom above. Owen goes on, he says, a universal carefulness and diligence exercising itself in and by all ways and means prescribed by God. So watchfulness is something that submits itself to the instruction of God's word. God has prescribed the ways and the means to watchfulness. He has laid it out in his words, the ways to live a holy life. And he has also given us the means for living in those ways. And so we have a way of doing it. Bunyan, not I want to keep saying Bunyan, but Owen switches again and to talk about the next phrase after it. He switches kind of from the positive aspects of it to some of the negative sides of it, like with the opposition that is given to us. But here's the hinge that connects those two parts. He says it is a universal carefulness and diligence exercising itself in and by all ways and means prescribed by God over our hearts and ways. And then he adds after that the baits and the methods of Satan. So the preposition over is followed by three phrases. And these phrases show us what we are to be careful about. He says we are to watch over our hearts and ways. And so this involves a self-awareness and self-examination. As Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. I had to think about that hymn, search me, O God, and try my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, and so forth. Search me, O God. And then he says that we are to watch over the baits and the methods of Satan. So we're not only to watch over our own souls, but we're also to watch over the enemy of our soul. We're not to be ignorant about his devices. We are to think about and understand what his strategies are, and we're to look for his snares. Peter said this, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can you imagine? There was some talk recently in our area that some people had seen some tracks of a mountain lion in the area. You'll walk through the woods differently, my friend, if you think that there's a mountain lion on the prowl in this area. Well, we have other things that we know for sure here, bobcats and bears. I've been in the woods and have seen all of these things there. Never saw a mountain lion, but just hearing those bobcats make these the screeches that they make it, it'll definitely raise the hair on the back of your neck, no doubt about it. Can't even imagine what it would be like to see a mountain lion. But here Satan is likened in the scripture to a lion walking about, waiting for an opportunity. And the scripture tells us to watch out for our adversary because he is watching you. He's looking for an opening. Owen goes on here towards the end. He says, a universal carefulness and diligence exercising itself in and by all ways and means prescribed by God over our hearts and ways, the baits and the method of Satan, the occasions and the advantages of sin in the world. We're to watch for the various circumstances and situations that give sin a foothold in our lives. Romans 13 said, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamberling and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. James put it more succinctly. He says, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So this universal carefulness that he's talking about is there's an end involved, that we be not entangled. So it's the purpose clause in what Owen is saying, right, in his definition. Why should we be watchful? That we be not entangled. Again, Paul writing to Timothy said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth himself, no man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that has chosen him to be a soldier." And so the same thing is true of us, not to entangle ourselves in the things of this world. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through their lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who have clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than with them than the beginning. For it is better that they had not known the way of salvation than to have known it and turned from the holy command delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned unto his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed is wallowing in the mire." My friend, take this subject of watchfulness very, very carefully. It's very important in this year and any year to come. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.